And welcome back to TechNet Edge. We have an exciting episode today with a lot of private cloud conversation. Sean Christensen's going to be joining me later to talk about service delivery and automation inside the private cloud. But first, let's do the news. Some big releases this week.
Yeah, well, actually the past 2 weeks we've had quite a few releases. And as 2 weeks ago, we had the launch of the Windows 8 Consumer Preview, as well as Windows Server 8 Beta. So if you haven't downloaded that already, you could go to aka.ms/WS8 for the client, or aka.ms/WS8 beta for the server evals. And then, of course, we had last week, as I announced, SQL Server release to manufacturing, so the final version of the code for SQL 2012.
That's right.
Yep.
And you could get that one from microsoft.com/SQL.
Yep. And one other thing that's kind of an interesting one that we see popping up quite a bit is people who have downloaded the consumer preview or the beta are wondering, once they go into desktop mode, how do I get back to the Metro Start interface? And so a couple of quick little tips. The Windows key is your friend on your keyboard. And then also Windows I is a nice friendly one if you want to restart, shut down, or whatever kind of thing. So that's the easy little tip.
Learn
for
the Windows key. That's going to be the trick here.
Yes. Yep, indeed.
Great. Well, moving on, we do have a private cloud jumpstart coming up. This is a live event where we are live answering Q&A from you guys all about private cloud. And so this is coming up April 3rd and 4th. Register today because the last event sold out. We actually blocked registration. It got so popular, we could only scale so much. So we encourage you, if you want to learn all about private cloud, from private cloud infrastructure, service delivery automation, and application management, go to aka.ms/PCJS for private cloud jumpstart.
And then we also have just a few events that are coming up. First of all, starting off with MMS. As you may have already heard, now MMS, the physical event, is sold out, but we will be streaming at least the keynotes online. And we're also going to be there edge on site. We're going to be there doing interviews for folks over the course of the week. And so we'll be posting those up online, and feel free to chime in on questions or comments on the post that we have when we go up there. And the other thing that we have, of course, is the TechEd. TechEd North America would be the next one in the list of things. So June 11th through 14th, that one is the first to kick off of the two TechEds. And, of course, TechNet Edge will be there as well doing interviews. We'll be actually live with Channel 9 live there.
In Orlando, Florida?
In Orlando, sunny Orlando, Florida, yes. And so you'll be able to see not only the keynotes, but also after that, see us interviewing some of the executives and some of the other folks that are presenting there. So giving you some good information. And then third event that we have here is Europe. So europe.mstechhead.com. That one is a couple weeks later, 26th through 29th of June. And the one thing to keep in mind there is that we have an early registration. So you save yourself 300 euros if you register by March 29th. So you don't have too much longer here to save a good chunk of cash to go attend the event. And with that, I think you've got something else, right?
I do. Well, this is a big study that was just released. So this isn't news such as an announcement, but it's more news as we've recently come out with a large research article, Microsoft with the help of IDC Research, talking about cloud jobs. Now, the estimate is by the year 2015, there's going to be 14 million new cloud jobs that have been created. So this is exciting. You know, a lot of people say, I don't understand the cloud. How's that going to impact me? But check out this article. It's available online at aka.ms/cloud jobs, and you'll get a lot more information about, you know, what's changing, where the shifts are, what geographic regions, things like that.
It's really kind of interesting because, you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot, I don't know, maybe you have, is this saying, well, cloud is going to make my job go away. What do you have to say, and what does the survey kind of say to that?
You know, I've actually heard that a lot as well, and I'm probably going to ask Sean in our interview later a little more about that, since, you know, we all get the same question again and again. But people hear, you know, cloud is about building in automation, getting rid of repetitive tasks, streamlining processes. But people say, well, isn't that going to take my job away? You know, if I no longer need to go deploy that VM, it's done automatically. What am I going to do? Well, it's actually very different than that, because what people don't realize is we're creating a brand new set of jobs. You know, you've now got cloud specialists coming out. But more important than that, it's going to make the life of the IT pro more fun and easier because they're going to be adding value to the business instead of doing repetitive tasks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know we don't all like to get up on Patch Tuesday, right? It's so many hours in the morning and make sure all the servers are booted in, we're up and online and all that stuff, right? We want to have a more important strategic role in the company. And that's one of the things that I was, when I glanced through the article here, it was saying, you know, well, we've now freed up some services to focus on strategic applications and strategies for the company itself.
Right. IT's moving from just supporting the business to enhancing the business, being able to more quickly respond to new opportunities. And really, you know, I don't think there's many IT pros out there that don't have a checklist of new projects they have to do that they just can't get around to because every Tuesday they're spending the whole day in the data center patching servers. So, you know, the whole goal here is get rid of those repetitive tasks. Spend your time on new investments, new projects, and ultimately make yourself more valuable to your company. And so once again, check out that article. It's a great read, a lot of insight. And if you're thinking about, you know, future career directions, there's some very good insights into what specific areas, particularly which industries like media and communication, banking industry, you know, specific areas that are really having a lot of growth in the cloud. So once again, check that out, aka.ms/cloudjobs. Well, with that, I'm going to say goodbye to you. We'll be back in a little bit and bring my interviewer out. And with Sean Christensen, we're going to be talking about service delivery and automation in the private cloud. Thanks. Welcome to TechNet Edge. I'm Simon Perriman, Private Cloud Technical Evangelist, and I'm joined today by Sean Christensen, who is really focused on the service delivery and automation layer in the private cloud. Sean, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure, thanks, Simon. Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Christensen. I'm a senior product marketing manager with System Center team here at Microsoft Corporate, focusing on service delivery and automation within the System Center private cloud solutions for Microsoft.
Now, you've been doing this as an IT pro for a while, right? Working on the delivery, the service, the IT infrastructure. What's your background there?
Service delivery and automation, it's an area that's been near and dear to my heart for many number of years. My first job out of college was sitting on a help desk answering phones from happy and not so happy customers calling up asking for IT services.
Great, great. So tell us, IT services, service delivery and automation in System Center 2012, what is it?
Well, service delivery and automation, Simon, is really about how we go about delivering services consistently in a standardized way. We deliver a self-service experience for the IT consumer, and we drive automation both from a people and process standpoint through within IT to make sure that those services are delivered really as effectively as possible.
So really it's just simplifying the IT process, making it faster, making it more efficient, and then giving our IT pros more time to go and do other tasks.
Exactly.
So what are kind of the key components from the System Center family that really fit into this service delivery and automation layer?
Yeah, well, as you know, System Center 2012 is now considered a single product, but I spend most of my time focusing on the service manager and the orchestrator components of System Center 2012, which are the key elements of service delivery and automation, really delivering and ensuring consistency in service.
So what exactly are each of these components for some of our viewers that may not be familiar?
That's a fair question. So service manager is, think of service manager as the people process aspects of service delivery and automation. We are embedding IT best practices from the Microsoft Operations Framework, MOF, or the IT Infrastructure Library, or ITIL is the other industry term, into this product into this component of the product to ensure that we are adhering to and leveraging industry practices to ensure that processes are managed effectively and in what's been considered the most effective way.
So this is kind of like the IT help desk guy's best friend.
Exactly. Orchestrator is really, think of orchestrator as this is your systems level process automation toolkit. We can automate just about any IT systems level process that an organization can think of, whether it is for provisioning new services, new requests that people come to IT and ask for, or remediating automatically errors in the infrastructure or within your private cloud that may pop up, that instead of waking somebody up out of bed at night or adding additional people to an IT operations organization to manage potential errors that show up, you can actually automate a lot of things using Orchestrator to ensure that those services are maintained, they're sustained, and are giving the end users the level of service that they want.
Great. And of course, there's great integration with Orchestrator with the other system set and components. So you could get an alert from Operations Manager that goes and triggers a runbook in Orchestrator, and you know,
and
it goes and does pretty
on.
Much anything you
triggers,
want, right?
Operations Manager gets an alert, logs an incident inside a Service Manager, kicks off an Orchestrator runbook to actually go remediate. Consequently, you can have our self-service portal where an user comes to the service catalog, requests a new service, say a new virtual machine. The request gets lodged in Service Manager, approvals are taken care of, so you have the controls in place to ensure that you're delivering and people are aware of what's being requested. But then you have the automation in place to automatically go and deliver that service for the end user, so you actually don't have to task somebody out to manually go deliver this. They can focus on what's more valuable to the business.
Great. And where exactly does Opalis fit in?
So Opalis is, as a lot of people might know, Opalis was a company that we acquired back in 2009. And it is what it became Orchestrator. So we took Opalis, we enhanced it and rewrote to really function within the System Center suite and be a single product of the System Center brand. So what was Opalis is now System Center 2012 Orchestrator.
Great. Well, let's focus a bit more on the service delivery and automation again. You mentioned there were kind of three key components. You had standardization, self-service, and automation.
Yep.
Can you talk a little more about the standardization and why that's important?
So let me answer that by asking a question. You've called the help desk before.
Of course.
Okay. How would you describe, was the experience the same time every time you called?
No, I mean, you know, if I have the same problem, I can call three times. One guy solves it in 30 seconds, another guy it takes 3 days to solve it. It really varies, right?
And did they ask you the same questions?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you got similar questions, but you didn't always get the same consistency of service.
No, so, very, very, very different.
So when we think about standardization within System Center 2012 Service Delivery and Automation, is about ensuring that you get a standard and consistent experience each time, every time you come to IT for service. So you get the same questions asked, but you get a consistent experience, so the same result happens, or the same consistent service delivery takes place each time that you interact with IT. So you might call up, ask for, say, a new virtual machine, or a new service to be created, or a new development environment, or a new employee to be onboarded. There's always, okay, with any type of request, there's information you want to know. It's making sure that that information is captured each time, every time, and that the user knows what type of experience they're going to get, and it's not going to change if they come back a second or a third time.
Right. You know, if people are doing the same task again and again and again, sometimes they're going to get sloppy, they're going to forget a step, and this eliminates that problem, right?
In IT, quite often people have a request. They have their checklist of things that they got to make sure that they're following. Sometimes people might use that all the time when they're first learning how to do a particular activity, and then over time they just, we can not worry about.
I've done this before. I remember it, right.
I'm not going to worry about that particular checklist, and they might forget a step. This is ensuring, no, we don't forget any steps that need to happen in the process. We're capturing the right information so we don't have to go back and ask again, and we're making sure that it's delivered as you would expect.
Great. So the next key tenet, self-service, mm-hmm. What is that and why is that important?
It's important because it's being demanded of us by the business. Business is constantly coming to IT saying, you're not responding to my needs fast enough. I need new services, I need new resources, I need them faster, I need them quicker. A self-service experience is about delivering those services and letting users consume them when they want, and to making the choice of what level of service and cost that they want to have for the services they're wanting.
So what might be an example of a self-service request?
So user comes in starting up a new employee. Or within the private cloud context, I want to create additional capacity or new capacity in my private cloud, or I want to create a new virtual machine in the private cloud I already have. Might be some examples. Another simple one is very close to home. I need new software. Mm-hmm. I want an application installed on my server or onto my desktop or laptop. That they want to be able to come to IT, ask that, and get what they want when they want it, whether it is 8 in the morning, 12 in the morning, or 2 in the morning. And IT doesn't have to be there waiting for that request to come up, because that's expensive.
Right.
Having somebody sitting there always looking and waiting for those services to show up. And then if you get a large number of them, you need to have the people available. If you can provide a self-service experience, you can serve those offerings up to a customer, much like a menu. People come to a restaurant, you sit down, you're given the menu. What do you want to pick? You make your selection. Okay, what are the options you want to have? You order a steak. How do you want it cooked? Do you want a salad? Do you want potatoes? Do you want french fries? Do you want veggies? All these are questions that have to be asked, whether it's asked one time or 100 times. You're asking the same stuff, for the same information. You're asking it the same way, and you're able to deliver on that service.
Great.
In the same manner.
So I see, standardization is already tied into the self-service. But
yep.
What about automation? Where does that fit in?
Automation is the delivery mechanism. So a person requests a new service. They're able to access that through the service catalog or through a service catalog. The last area is, okay, now we have to do something. We have to actually fulfill that request. And automation is about bringing together the people aspects and the systems aspect activities that need to be used to deliver that service. Or deliver on that request, and automating it so that you don't, again, have to have all the resources, all the people around to actually deliver that request. Whether you get it one time, five times, or 100 times. So we take our example, someone comes, wants to deploy a new virtual machine. System Center 2012 allows us to serve up that type of request in our service catalog. An end user can request that service. And they are the only one, potentially, that even touches the request all the way through to the provisioning of that virtual machine. Now, you might have a person in the middle to approve mm-hmm. that request, but we take the additional resource requirement out of actually fulfilling the provisioning of that of a particular request like that, so that you can have IT people focusing on things that are more valuable to the business.
Great. So let me tie this together. You have the end user, they make a self-service request. We mm-hmm. know what that request means because it's a standardized request,
yep.
meaning we know what type of infrastructure it means, what services it's calling. Once it gets approved, we have automation that goes and configures it, goes and deploys it, and completes the project. So rather than having this IT guy, pick up the phone, work with the customer step by step through this, we know
yep.
what they want every time, simplifies the process for everyone.
And you have a record that it took place.
Excellent.
So instead of having pieces of paper sitting around at an IT person's desk and trying to remember, okay, what did we actually do? How many requests of this did we get, or do we have enough capacity? You have it recorded. So then you can report on it.
That sounds great. Well, I see you brought your laptop with you. Do you have a demo for us?
I do have a demo. I've actually got it here on the screen here, starting up. This is actually the new service catalog and service request portal that we have within System Center, within the service manager component of System Center. It's actually where I would like to start for this demo, really starting from the service consumer, the end user's perspective. Here we have a number of services that we're offering. In this case, I'm going to open up private cloud services. And we want to go ahead and provision a new virtual machine to be provisioned within my private cloud. So I have private cloud services, and I have my request VM that I'm going to go ahead and click on. And this is going to bring me to my particular request offering form, where I have my request. I'll go ahead and open up the actual request form. And now we talked about that self-service. Self-service is really about controlled empowerment, giving the user the power of choice, but controlling what choices you can select.
So what we're seeing here, this is a list of possible VM templates they can choose, but it's not the complete list in my library. It's only a subset that particular user can access.
Exactly. Well, in this case, this is everything, but you could restrict and limit what the user's allowed to select. But the key here is this is pulled directly out of the System Center CMDB that we grabbed from Virtual Machine Manager. So we're not adding and entering additional information into my service catalog so that somebody can pick it, and I have to then go make sure that that's up to date and it's in sync with what's in Virtual Machine Manager. This is pulling directly from my CMDB, which is automatically synchronized to VMM.
So we always have a consistent source of data and template.
That's always up to date, exactly.
So what exactly is the CMDB, though?
So, good point. CMDB stands for Configuration Management Database. It is an industry term that is really looking at identifying and having for an organization a centralized repository, or in simple terms, it's a central location where I can see anything and everything about my IT infrastructure that I care about, what it is and how it relates to everything around it. So
right.
I have a laptop, it's connected to a particular monitor. I would store these within my CMDB, and I have a relationship between the two. That's an example of what would be stored inside a CMDB. The key pieces are, what you have, and we call those configuration items, and how it relates, the relationships between a configuration item and the other configuration items within my infrastructure. Because from an IT perspective, nothing sits in isolation. these days. Everything is connected to something. So here we have the virtual machine templates that our end user can select. So I'm going to go ahead and just simply select, I want a SQL template virtual machine deployed because I'm going to do some SQL development. I scroll down, and I now have a prompt for, okay, what's the name of this virtual machine going to be? So I'll just say Edge SQL Server. Now I need a business justification. So because it's part of this request, I want to know information why you're actually requesting it. What we'll see later is this actually goes towards what the approval is and the person who's actually going to approve this request. So I'll just say SQL Project Development. We'll hit Next. Review my answers. Yep, that all looks good. And I'll submit it. And here, SR97254, that's my service request. And then I can monitor that. I have an option in my portal. I can go into my requests. I can see the status of that as it's getting provisioned, if I want, and monitor my request until it is completed. Great. Or I can also get an email notification that it's been approved.
Great. So if we switch over and look at the perspective of the IT admin,
yep.
What are they going to see?
So the IT admin is going to come in, and they're going to see our Service Manager console here, and they're going to see the actual request that's just been created, and that is in progress within System Center, specifically with Service Manager. So what is happening is we've grabbed that information, we have applied to that service request that's come through a template that automatically pre-populates what activities we need to execute to fulfill this request, and that might be based on where the request came from, what type of request it is, and who it's from. Here, as soon as this decides to return itself, there we go. We have our new request that's just been created. We can see it's request VM, it's in progress. I'll go ahead and open that up. And what that template allows us to do is really drive and standardize the business or the IT processes to fulfill this request. So if we look on our activities tab here, we can see I have two activities. One is a review activity. We want somebody to review this and approve it. And the next one is an actual request VM. This is an orchestrator runbook that is automatically invoked from Service Manager to actually go and build my request. So we follow this through. What would happen? We'd approve this activity. This little play button would change to a checkbox. And the next activity would kick off and turn, and we'd see that turn into a play button, and the orchestrator runbook would be executing. Now, how that works, if I flip over to the orchestrator console, this is the runbook that's executed. Now, what we have here is we have our variables that we have identified within for our runbook, and we're asking for the virtual machine name. Well, in our request on the portal, we actually gave it a name.
We provided a name.
So that variable that we entered on the request automatically flows through directly to the runbook. We don't have to enter anything additional or retype or rekey. It just automatically is mapped.
Eliminating that human error again.
Eliminating that error. We then get details about that VM template. We go get the VM template. And then Orchestrator issues a command to Virtual Machine Manager, go build this virtual machine using this virtual machine template. So Orchestrator is that coordination and orchestration engine that grabs and takes in inputs, performs a series of activities, and then issues commands to other systems to go execute activities. In this case, we're taking data from Service Manager, from the request that the user provided. We are then telling Virtual Machine Manager, hey, go build this and tell me when you're done. Once this runbook completes, it updates our service request, it closes, and then the service request notifies the end user. And the only person that touched it is the person that entered it, the person that approved it, and that's it.
And that approval process is very trivial. It's literally, you know, looking at the request, making sure it makes sense, and saying, go, execute this workflow, right?
Exactly.
There's no actual, you know, going to find the server, you know, finding which library has the image, and actually setting that up. Again, all automated.
Exactly. And that approval can be whatever the organization wants to have in place. You might choose, you know what? For this type of request, we don't need approval.
Just automatic.
It's what's called a pre-approved change, so it's automatic. It just happens. You might have multiple approvals because it needs to go to your manager, then it needs to go to the IT department, then it needs to go to another group before you can say yes. It's whatever your business process, your IT business process dictates you need to do, and we can embed that, again, so it's standardized and it's consistent so that when a user in a self-service manner goes and requests it, the same process is followed each time and every time, so you're not circumventing anything.
And again, fully customizable as well, right?
Exactly.
As far as who gets approved, the workflow, what gets deployed, what gets standardized, and even what services you offer, right?
Exactly. And one key piece, there's customization, there's what I call configuration. Customization really is I got to go in and write code. Everything I showed here is I didn't have to write a single line of code. It's all drag and drop, filling out entries in fields to create my request, create my runbook, and link the two together so that a user can request it. I didn't have to write an ounce of code.
Very nice. Well, that looks great. Thank you so much for showing that demo.
You're very welcome.
I mean, there's a lot of great stuff coming with service delivery and automation. You know, just to sum it up once again, we have our standardization, we have our self-service, and we have automation being the three key pieces.
Absolutely.
So if people want to go and try this out, what are the calls to action? Where can they go to find more?
Hey, I would go to microsoft.com/private-cloud. Actually, just to help here, I pulled up. We got a couple locations here. One, go to microsoft.com/private-cloud. All the information is here, as well as access to the evaluation versions. Download this, try it yourself.
Great.
And run it up. We can connect, and Orchestrator allow us to integrate to the other components of System Center 2012, as well as a number of third-party management tools. Whether you have all System Center or not, you can actually build some of those integration and automation activities using System Center and whatever else you might have inside your environment. The other area is to learn more is go check out Microsoft Virtual Academy and access some of the online learning recordings that we have for System Center 2012.
And those go deeper not only to the component level, but there's also two courses on service delivery and automation.
Absolutely.
So if you want to learn more, Sean actually recorded them as well. So if you want more from Sean, go to www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com.
And hey, I'd hope to see everybody at MMS. Looking forward to sharing more about System Center 2012 and service delivery and automation with Service Manager and Orchestrator.
Great. Thanks so much. Well, thank you for joining us this week. Please leave comments at the bottom of the page or send requests via Twitter to @TNEdge. Thank you very much. And we'll be back with Sean next time in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking about service delivery and automation again, but focusing on monitoring and operating the environment.
Sounds great.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We're back here, man, and that was really cool stuff. Lots of automation in the private cloud, lots of fun stuff there.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of the customers are really going to want to try this out. The release candidate is now available. Go to microsoft.com/System Center. Check out System Center 2012 Orchestrator, System Center 2012 Service Manager, and start to play around with a few of those capabilities that we just demoed.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to have certain people interviewed or want to know more, you have questions or comments on the Edge team, just send us a tweet @TNEdge, or feel free to comment on the videos that we've posted up on our site.
What's in store for next week?
So next week, I am going to have an interview with Citrix, and so we're going to be talking about consumerization of IT and how you can get all kinds of virtual applications and desktops on all different types of devices. So
sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you then. Thanks a lot.